What a blessing to be back tonight. After you've heard me twice, you still want me back. Appreciate Brother Holt. First time I met him, we got to talking about the Cuban people, and he really loves them. Now, I've been here 54 years, so I don't know. You know, I'm an American citizen. I'm an American. And when I've gone to Cuba and I try to tell them I'm a Cuban, they say, no, you're a North American. You're not one of us. You're nothing like one of us. So I'm kind of lost between two. But I still have a heart for my people in Cuba. And our Brother Holt, it was just a connection we made years ago. And when I first surrendered into the ministry years ago, my desire was to go back to Cuba as a missionary. And I tried, and the Lord just would never open the door for me to go and never gave me peace about that. He's led me in several different directions through the years. I still hold out a desire that he might allow me to go back and do something there. I know the time's short. I have no doubt that he'll be returning soon. I was expecting this Pentecost this year, as Brother Estep has taught us, that if it's possible that he'll come back on Pentecost. And so this every year when it gets around Pentecost time, I start looking up to the skies and hoping it gets real dark and maybe he'll just take us home. And I was hoping that it'd be this year. It'd be all right, Lord. If it's not Pentecost, if it's tonight, it'd be good too. Amen. So if the Lord tarries and sees me fit to go back to go to Cuba for a little while and do something there, I'd be sure honored to be able to do that. But until then, I'm trying to just follow the Lord and do what he has me to do, and not like I said the other night, not follow my own plan. Our own plan, sometimes it looks good, but there's a better plan that the Lord has for us. Take your Bibles tonight, and we'll turn to John chapter 4, and we're going to read a little bit in the Bible. So if you haven't done your Bible reading today, we will do it right now. I want to thank you for your hospitality. I always feel welcomed here, and appreciate you all. Kind words, encouragement. Haven't said anything about my wife. I was hoping her and the family would be here today. When I left Sunday morning, my son was sick, wasn't feeling very well, had some kind of stomach flu, and so she said she'd stay home with him and then try to meet me down here today. And then last night when I called her, she was homesick with the stomach flu. And so I said, you know what, I think that staying in a motel room together is probably not a great idea. So why don't you go ahead and stay home, and I'll catch you a little bit later. I don't want to get that bug and then not be able to be here. So if you would pray, remember to pray for them. John chapter 4, and we start in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee the living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and saith unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. Shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast five husbands, and him whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saith thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Wow. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, Lord, and we're gathered here in your name. Father, just hoping that that you'll continue to meet with us. Father, thank you for meeting with us during the songs, touching our hearts. And Lord, just like this woman that came to the well dry looking for a drink of water, Father, we come tonight, Father, looking for a drink from you. And Father, we beg you that at this well, this church that has spiritual living water coming out of it, Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd touch us and meet our needs and fill us, Lord, now with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray you push me aside. And again, Lord, tonight, that the words that come out of my mouth would be from your heart to your people. And nothing that I might say might hurt someone, Father. And Lord, I just pray you'd be with me. I don't want them to hear. They don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from you, Lord. I pray you do that tonight. In Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord. Amen. So Sunday morning, your pastor started teaching on the fruit. He taught on the fruits of the Spirit. He taught on meekness. And what better example there is in the Bible of meekness than our Lord Jesus Christ? Just meek, 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 meek. And that's a trait and characteristic that is lost in this world, and it's especially lost in this country. We all think we're something, and that's not what the Lord's looking for. The Lord's looking for meek folks. Now, meek doesn't mean weak. It means humble, not proud. And Jesus is a wonderful example of that. And I tried Sunday morning to talk about Jesus and his agony in the garden, to preach about that, and the meekness in a way and the strength it took for him to go through what he went through for us. He gave of himself for us. He didn't have to do that. He had no reason really to do that, except that he loves us. Yeah. And we need to see that love of the Lord for us to be able to be a blessing to anyone else in our lives. Then Sunday night I preached about Jesus as a baby and how meek he was then, and people wanted to kill him. Can't imagine wanting to kill a baby. I mean, baby had done nothing wrong. And we saw the meekness in Jesus. And tonight, I want to preach about for a little while about Jesus when he, in relating to this woman here at the well. And I know if you've read your Bible and you've heard of preaching, you've heard a lot of preaching on this. I don't know if what I'm going to say is something you've heard. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I want to see here the love of the Lord toward just a plain, simple woman. And I don't know if you can put yourself in the place of this woman, but I want to look at this woman real quick before we start talking about the Lord. It says here she was a Samaritan woman. If you read your Bible, that means she was half Jew and half not Jew. The lowest kind in that country at that time, in that area. She was a nobody, a nothing. Samaritan. It says here, I mean, the Jews, the religious Jews that have nothing to do with Samaritans, they wouldn't even go near them. They wouldn't even talk to them. They were just dirty in their sight. And here's this woman. She's one of those. Not only that, but in this society, I don't want to step on toes here, but she was a woman. And you know, with women's lib now, women have a different stature here in, you know, United States. But back then, women were nothing. They were worse than nothing. They were servants to their men. And so she, not only was she half Jew, half Samaritan, she was a woman. And to top it all off, she had been married and divorced 5 times. And she was living with the guy that wasn't her husband. Not what we would call a nice, we would call a nice church person. But she was a woman and the Lord loved her. And she was in need of something. She was in need of something. And I hope I'm not going to Brother Hoddle, but as I was sitting there thinking about what I was going to preach, the Lord brought to memory Brother Hoddle to me. When I, 20 years ago, I had been out of church. I'd been saved, but I was out of church for a little while. Some things happened in my life, and the Lord beat me up for a couple of years, and Brother Estep found me and brought me to charity, and I was a mess. I was like this woman, just a mess. I was saved, but my life was was a mess. And I walked into charity. I won't forget it. I walked into charity, and I felt so out of place. I felt like a fish out of water. No doubt, like a woman like that would feel if she walked into a church. So I identify myself with this woman here. Just a mess. My life was a mess. And I knew I was saved, but I didn't feel any love of God from anybody. I've been to a few other churches, and they kind of spurned me away, pushed me away, because I wasn't like them. And I started coming to charity. I was there for a little while, and it was okay. I liked Brother Estep. And Brother Hoddle came up to me. I don't know if you remember, Bob. You probably don't remember, but see, it touched my heart. And he actually talked to me like a person. Like he cared about me. He had a picnic at his house for everybody at the church. You remember that, brother? You remember that? And they was announcing the picnic, and people were going to this picnic, and everybody was going to have a good time at this picnic. And I just felt like, yeah, I'm not, you know, invited. I'm not going to go. And that man came up to me, and he personally invited me to come. And I wasn't wearing a shirt or tie. I wasn't wearing a suit. I was wearing some sweatpants and a T-shirt. And he loved on me. My. And I'm not saying I'm anything, but I'm here today still. I'm still in church. Amen. I don't know if I would. We need to love each other. We need to love each other regardless of what we look like, regardless of what it seems like. This woman, in the eyes of this world, looks like nothing. And yet if you read your story, the Lord Jesus Christ, from where he was to where it was going, if you read that passage, he went way out of his way to go see her at that well because he knew that she needed something. He took his time to go see this, in our eyes, this woman who is less than the world expects her to be because he loved her. Very few of us would do that if we're honest with ourselves. But read through the story. He changed her life because he had some compassion on her. I'm going to go through that. He had some compassion on her and some love, and it made a difference to her. And later on, we see that she led some people to realize who Jesus was. It made some difference in some other people's lives as well. So please, this is not even part. This is just from seeing Brother Hoddle. Love each other. You don't know who your love's going to affect. You don't know. Sometimes I see people that I just really begin to judge in my heart. And the Lord says, no, 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 no. Ought not judge them. Love them. And this is a beautiful story, a wonderful story of our Lord and the love and the meekness he shows. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He didn't have to do nothing with that woman. He could have just cast her away. But he went out of his way to see her. And I want to touch upon a few things here before we go home in this story. And I have no specific points, like in a message where you get to somewhere. I just want you to read this story and let the Holy Spirit touch your heart about what our Lord is doing with just a common, plain person, just like any one of us, a person that's out, down on their luck, maybe has made some poor decisions in their life, But it's still a person. There's still a soul in there.
Yeah.
And so here's the story with this woman. So I want you to see her. Thank you, Brother Hoddle, by the way. I know. I just felt led to say something. She went to that well. If you look in verse 7. She went to that well not looking for anything spiritual. She went to that well simply looking for a drink of water, to bring water back to her house. She had a water pot, it says later on. So she was coming to that well to draw water, to bring it up back to the place that she lived, so she it would provide for whatever family was there, whether it was the man she was living with, the kids, whoever. She had a water pot. She was bringing water back to the well. I just want to notice real quick, in the verse before that, it says she went there at the sixth hour. That's about noontime. That's a hot time of the day. As I studied this in the customs of the Middle East back then, the women would typically be the ones to go get the water for the family dwelling. But most of them in a city or town would go in the mornings when it was cool so they can get back and bring water back to their husbands before they went to do their work and their kids. So going at noon for her was a little out of character for that culture. And so I got to wondering, maybe, why did she go at noon? And the Lord is very specific in putting down the time. See, whenever there's something specific, it's not just happening. This is the Word of God. It's perfect and inerrant. God put it there for a reason. And so I started wondering, Lord, why at noon? Why don't you, like everybody else, just go? Why even put it in the Bible for me to read it? And I don't know. It's not in there. I'm just surmising. Maybe she went at noon to avoid the crowd of the other women that would go down in the morning, that were just all righteous, and would pick on her for her faults. Doesn't say in the Bible. You can read what you want. I'm just wondering, why did she go at noon? That's a possible reason. She was afraid of getting picked on, of the tongues that would say, hey, how come you're not married to that guy? Hey, how about this? Hey, how about that? And so she just went at noon to avoid the crowd. And if that's the case, that's pretty sad. And the Lord said to me, son, you need to watch out, because sometimes, like I just said before, you have a judgment on people when you look at them and you think, hey, they don't look just like you. They don't act just like you. Keep away from that. Let me handle it. And that's exactly what the Lord did here. So here's a woman. She's out of luck. She apparently has no future. If you read her story here, she's no hope. And probably every care and burden in the world is upon her shoulders, the way she's living her life, for bad decisions or whatever it is. But oh my, that could change in a moment. That could change in a moment for any one of us. That can change in a moment for anyone that you come in contact with, if you have the right spirit, if the Lord is living in you. Just like here, you can bring that living water to someone else, just like this woman. Don't deny people the opportunity of that just because you see them and they don't look like the way you think they ought to look. So here's this woman. She's coming to this well. She's not looking for anything spiritual. She's looking just simply for a physical need to be met, to get some water. And yet she gets there, and she gets the surprise of her life, doesn't she? Something that she wasn't counting on, wasn't expecting. And can I say this, that she got some of that. She got what she needed because she was willing to listen. She was willing to listen to the Lord. At first, she didn't know who this man was. She shows up to get some water, and there's this Jewish man sitting by the well. And she's probably thinking, uh-oh, I got to go by him. What's he going to say to me? I'm a Samaritan, half Jew, half Gentile. I'm a woman, and probably don't look too good. I don't even want to talk to anybody. My life's so miserable right now, I don't want to talk to anybody. But she gets there, and the Lord's there, and he starts to talk to her. And she could have said to him, I don't really want to talk to you, sir, and just go on with her business. But yet she was willing to listen. And I'm going to ask you tonight, just like this woman, some of us go to places, church even, maybe not looking for something spiritual, maybe because our friends are going or somebody's brought us or just because that's what we do, go to church. But yet in that physical activity, there's a spiritual thing that's happening behind it, and that's the Lord wanting to speak to us. You walk into church, I'm going to just ask you, on a night like tonight, obviously, I believe you're all saved in here tonight, or many of you are saved, but why'd you come to church tonight? Just ask your question. Why? That woman went to the well for something that she needed physically, and she came away with something spiritually. Sometimes, I'll tell you, we go to churches because it's a thing to do. And the Lord might be speaking to us, and we're worried about what we got to do at home. We're worried about the bills. We're worried about our wife or kids. We're worried about something else. We have something like this woman, the burdens of life. And even though we're going through the motions like this woman of coming to church, the Lord begins to speak, we can shut him off. This woman didn't shut the Lord off. She could have shut him down. She could have said, hey, I'm busy with my life, guy. I have no time to talk to you. But she had enough sense for some reason to stop and listen. Stop and listen. What'd you come here for tonight? Did you just come out of obligation? Well, I'm glad you're here. Pastor's glad you're here. But there's something more. The Lord wants to speak to you and deal with you in your life. He wants to take care like he did with this woman. Take the burdens off you. Take the problems away from you. He wants to help you. He wants to give you some of that living water. And if you're not saved in here tonight, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you can do that tonight. Amen. You know, I'm just going to say it. He died and was rose again. He did that not because he just wanted to. He did that because he wanted to pay for our sins. But we have to accept it. I was explaining that to someone last night. Someone understood that I was talking to last night, understood that, but didn't understand the part that they had to accept that gift. Amen. Accept it. We could all know that there's a gift, but until you take it, and as I said to her, until you take that present that your parent might give you, all nice and wrapped up in a bow, until you take it and open it up and take it out of the box, it's not yours. You can take that gift that Jesus gave you and just sit it and look at it and know that it's there and admire it, but it's not yours until you take it and open it. I had to explain that to someone last night. That's how close it could be between being saved and not being saved. A lot of us are in Bible-believing churches, and I see it all the time. They know the gift is there. They understand that. But taking it is the... Salvation is free, but you still have to take it. Amen. You can't just sit and look at it. Amen. You have to appropriate it for yourself. Amen. What a shame if you, us older folks, you got kids, if you give your kid a gift. Imagine how bad you'd feel if you give your kid a gift for his birthday or whatever. A nice gift in a box, nicely wrapped, and you give it to him, and he sits it on his desk and just looks at it and never opens it. The best gift in the world you can think of giving them, and you know they need it, and it sits there, and they look at it and say, yeah, I know you gave me something, Dad, but I'll get to it. My. I hope you're not doing that tonight. You have to still take the gift. You can know all about Jesus and the gift, but if you don't accept that, it does you no good. Amen. I think what a shock some people are going to be in, unfortunately, later on down the line. And this woman here had to be willing to take from Jesus what Jesus was offering her and not just walk away. She had a willing, willing heart. In verse 16, let's see what Jesus was looking for here. In verse 16, Jesus says to her, makes a statement. See, she kind of knew about Jesus. If you read through these verses, she kind of knew something about him. She didn't know the whole story, but she knew something about it, about worshiping and God, and she talks about that. And she knew some spiritual stuff, but she didn't know the truth. In verse 16, Jesus says something to her. He says, go call thy husband and come hither. Now, we all know Jesus already knew all about her. Why do you think he says that to her? Go call your husband. He's testing out her heart. Jesus wanted to know if she was going to be honest. I mean, he already knew. You get me? I mean, he knew that. But that question, whenever the Lord asks a question, He's already got the answer, if you haven't figured that out. He's just wanting to see if we understand what's going on. She could have said, well, okay, I'll be right back, sir. I'll go get my husband. I'll see you later. I mean, why would she want to bring up the fact that she's not married? But yet, honesty. She answers him honestly. And let me tell you, God is looking for honest answers from us. He's looking for an honest heart. I want you to notice here that knowing all about her and being the God of the universe and being righteous, he could have just rebuked her and criticized her for all her mistakes and for the sin she was living in and for not being perfect. He could have righteously done all that, and nobody could have ever pointed a finger at him for saying anything negative to her. But yet, rather than say something negative, he's simply looking for an answer that's honest. Folks, Jesus isn't looking for perfection from us when we come to him. He's looking for an honest heart to say, this is who I am. Man, if we give him that and we're honest with him, he can work with us. He can help us. He will give us what we need. But if we come to him with an unhonest heart, there's no help for us. Amen. He'll wait. He's got all the time to wait for us to be honest. And some of us hard-headed ones, it takes a long time, and he'll keep waiting. Not looking for perfection. How many people I've met in the jail, in different places, and they're telling me, well, I'll wait to come to Jesus when I'm cleaned up. Yeah. That ain't the way he wants it. He wants us to be honest with him.
Yeah.
He'll fix all the other problems later. He'll take care of it himself. But if we wait to be perfect, to be fixed up before we come to him, we'll be waiting for a long time. Because we can't do it. And we make those around us miserable when we wait. The Lord's looking for people who are willing to hear him. The Lord's willing to work with people and looking for people that are honest with him. So are you honest with him tonight? About your circumstances, about your life. It's amazing sometimes how many Christians we talk, and how different people, including me, we're not honest. We don't want to come to the Lord and say, I'm having this problem, please help me. Because we don't look too good. We want to look perfect or close to perfect. But there's no help for us until we get to that place where the honesty comes pouring out of us. And I'm not saying you have to go to each other necessarily. I'm talking about with the Lord. Are you honest with the Lord tonight about your circumstance? This woman, she came to the well with a problem, with a burden, with many burdens probably. She was honest, and the Lord, as we read through the story, was able to help her. In verse 25, I want you to see something that I think is wonderful, amazing, fantastic. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And then Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Do you realize that as I look through this, I never noticed this until I the last time I read through this. This is the first person that Jesus reveals who he is to. If you've never seen that before, I had just seen it, and I'm shocked. Here's this woman with less than perfect character. As the world would esteem her, or nobody, or nothing. Nothing. She's not one of the scribes, one of the Pharisees. She's not a muckety-muck. And this is the first person that Jesus says, hey, I'm the Messiah. Not even to his disciples. I looked and looked. And maybe somebody will show me I was wrong. I looked and looked back through the Bible. I cannot find one person before this point that he has said, I am he. I am the Messiah. That encourages me because I'm like that woman. Because she was willing and she had an honest heart, Jesus told her he was the Messiah, and he hadn't even told his disciples who were walking with him every day. Wow! What's that tell us? That tells me that he loves us in spite of who we are.
Yeah.
And no matter how I am, if I'm honest toward him, he's going to show me some things. He's going to open his word to me and show me and love me.
Yeah.
And that's a place of help. We ought to stop being so closed about our problems with him and trying to look so perfect in front of him. He knows what we are.
Sure.
He wants to help us, folks. I wonder what he could show us if we were really honest with him. He showed her that he was the Messiah. I mean, he'd already been in Jerusalem. He could have told them folks there, hey, by the way, here I am. I'm the Messiah. He could have walked around like they're Washington, D.C. and said, hey, I'm the guy. I'm the guy you're all waiting for. But he kept it quiet, and he told this no-account woman, this nobody, this nothing. He told her first before anybody else. I don't know if that does something for you. It does something for me.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it right now, I got goosebumps. Yeah. That's our lovely Lord. Our lovely, wonderful Savior just loves on people. We ought to have the same love he has toward them, shouldn't we? I mean, that's what a Christian is, somebody who's Christ-like. What does she do then? Verse 28 and 29. She leaves and she goes to tell others about Christ to that town. And by the way, when she leaves there in verse 28... the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. You know what? She left her burden. The thing she'd come for, the water she came to get, the thing that was so important to her, that was heavy on her shoulder, probably carrying it on her shoulder, that water pot, that burden, she just left it and ran to tell others about the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you come to him, whatever burden you're carrying, whether it's for salvation or later on problems in your life, when you come to him willing to talk to him, willing to listen to him with an honest heart and are just open to him, he'll take that burden right away from you.
Sure.
And you won't even know that you needed it.
Yeah.
Or had it.
Uh-huh.
She left without that water pot. I mean, that water was important to her, but she didn't care. She had something much greater. She had that living water in her that she wanted to go tell other people about. And she ran to that town and she told. And it says later on, people were amazed and got saved. And then Jesus shows up and other people got saved. Well, I'm not going to say saved. It's dispensationally, that's not correct. But you know what I'm saying. People got to meet the Lord.
Yeah.
All because of some half-Jew, half-Gentile woman who's been divorced 5 times, who's living with a guy, and the Lord uses her for other people's lives. Wow. That gives me a lot of hope. That gives me a lot of hope. Man, it just... See, I'm not a good person. I'm sitting in a suit, but the Lord knows who I am. Brother, I was living in Miami a couple of those years. Probably you were down there. When I was in my early 20s, and I probably was up to no good. I probably wasn't on the same side of the law you were on. But here I am.
Yeah.
Not because of me, because of him. Because he saw past all that, and he saw something in my heart. Praise the Lord. Do you have a burden tonight? Is there something that's just weighing you down? Maybe it's not salvation. Maybe it's something else. It's a family member or it's a problem. You have that water pot. You carry it everywhere you go. It's just heavy and heavy and gets heavier and heavier. And you can't get rid of it. The Lord wants to take it from you tonight. There's no reason for you to hold it up. There's no reason. Just be willing to listen to him tonight. I believe he's trying to speak to us tonight. He wants to take that burden from you. He wants to replace it with living water. To just go on and on and on. Are you willing to do that tonight? Pastor, as you come up and do the invitation, I'm closing out. I want you to just notice one other thing. And I don't know really what it means. The Lord hasn't showed me completely, but where were the disciples during all this time? They were gone to get meat for themselves, and they were arguing about some stupid stuff. And they missed all of this. They had just been in the city. I just want you to think about this for a second. Here were the great disciples, and I'm not poo-pooing them, but here's the great disciples. And they're in the city, and they've been with Jesus. Does it say that they had told anybody about him?
My. Aren't you glad that the Lord loved you enough to take the time? You know, I notice if I'm reading my Bible right, it appears that the Lord spent quite a bit more time on this adulterous woman than he did with Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. A lot more time with her than he did with Nicodemus. Be careful who you want to throw aside and say, well, they're not worth fooling with. I'm glad the Lord reached out to me. I don't have... Who am I? God knows me better than you know me. And I know me better than you know me. God loved me, reached out and picked me up. There's a lot of bruised reeds in the pulpits today because God can use those folks. We know where the glory belongs. It belongs to God. It don't belong to us. It belongs to Him. I'm convinced that the heart of the church is in the little country churches scattered across this nation, not in those big mega churches. That's where people reach out to those around them and love them when nobody else wants to love them. God loved me. I wasn't very lovable. Still not very lovable. He reaches out to the unreachable. He approaches the unapproachable. Why? Because that's who He is. See, His goodness is all wrapped up in Himself. It don't depend on my goodness. That's just who He is. He loves you. Everyone stand up. I've always been critical of preachers who will have an evangelist in, and after evangelist gets done, then the preacher will preach another message. I'm not going to do that tonight. But God loves you, and He wants your gratitude. He wants you to give Him glory. I'm grateful for my Savior. I'm thankful for my Savior. The altar's open for whatever burden. If you're here, you've never trusted Christ, don't go home lost. You don't have to. He won't refuse you. Why would He refuse you after what He did? Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He won't refuse you. Just come to Him. Step out the best way you know how. He'll save you tonight. Maybe there's a burden. Let's sing. We're going to sing, Jerry.
165. 165.